Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Rhino Nation, broadcast to you live from the Phoenix Business Radio X studio in Tempe, powered by Rhino Online Strategies and eCreativity. Rhino Nation is a growing community of influential entrepreneurs and small business owners that share a common trait. They don't walk, they don't run, they charge to their destiny. We acknowledge and celebrate their business expertise, their leadership, and fearless attitude to be victorious in their goals. Rhino Nation is committed to making powerful connections and providing enhanced exposure to broaden the reach and promote the extraordinary talents of our community members. I'm Michelle Faust, and I'd like to welcome my guest today, Julie Fletcher, Assistant Vice President and Business Banking Specialist at Enterprise Bank and Trust, and Michelle Michelisi, Chief Marketing Officer of Apex Medical Reimbursement Solutions. Welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So, first of all, I just want to say, Michelle, I hope I pronounced your last name correctly.
You did. I was like, wow, we didn't even check that out before.
I know.
I was going to make sure
I asked you that. So I'm glad, because I know that's important
to
me.
You must know some Italian people.
Exactly. It was my time in Italy that just, you know,
there you go.
Kicked me
awesome.
Out there. Yeah, absolutely. So I might as well start with you, Michelle. Give me a little bit of information, just a little background, backstory, if you would, of who you are and what you do.
So I'm the Chief Marketing Officer for Apex Medical Reimbursement Solutions. What we do is we make it easier on doctors to do what they do best, which is healthcare. So we do medical billing, credentialing, and coding. So the doctors can focus on healthcare as opposed to managing their billing staff.
That's great. Having been in the pharmaceutical industry for
so
20
you know.
Years.
Wow, 20 years.
So I definitely know some of the issues and challenges that the doctor's offices have around that. So welcome.
Thank you
so much. And Julie, what about you?
What about me?
Yes, what about you?
I'm Assistant Vice President, Business Banking Specialist. I work with Enterprise Bank and Trust. I've been with them for 2 years. Enterprise is a business commercial bank. We specialize in working with business owners that are privately held and their families to help them with build their wealth. We are a unique bank. We are entrepreneurial in spirit. We started 30 years ago and have grown from St. Louis, Kansas City, and now into Arizona.
That's fantastic. But welcome to you as well. So I'm going to start off with giving Enterprise Bank a little kudos based on my recent experience. I am a client as
yes,
well.
You are.
Thank you very much, Julie, for bringing me in. And I was at the Green Living magazine.
Launch party.
Mm-hmm.
We missed that.
That was last week. Now, I understand you hold those types of events, what, about quarterly, maybe?
Yep. Every quarter, we try to put an event together for the community.
Right. So it was great. I mean, for I go to a lot of networking types of groups and meetings, and this one was casual. It was fun. You had food. You even had a little tequila there. And but it was just the format of it was so comfortable, and I really enjoyed being there. But what I wanted to share with you is I came away with two really great connections.
Oh, that's excellent.
So it was fantastic. And then I'm going to mention this because I want you to speak to this as well. Yesterday, I went to my first Enterprise University class.
Yes.
So that's something that is really a unique offering to your client. And I'll share with you just a little bit. It was about branding, an important topic anymore. And I learned a tremendous amount. I also made two really great connections there.
That's great.
So it was such a valuable experience. And it was free.
Yes,
so I have to say, that was a fantastic experience that I had. Would you like to speak to that just a little bit?
Sure. Enterprise is huge about giving back to the community. And one of the ways we do that is through Enterprise University, or what I like to say is EU. These are semester-by-semester classes, and we focus on everything that we believe and that we've been told entrepreneurs need education-wise. So there are classes on human resources, marketing, finance, operations. If there's anything that's going on with government that needs to be addressed, regulations, we provide courses for those. We hold them at ASBA, Arizona Small Business Association. We hold them between September and November, and then again from February through May each year. They're free to the, not just to our customers, but to the public. And they really are just to give back to the community. They are free. They're 2.5 to 3 hours long. Mm-hmm. They're very informative, and we bring in top-notch instructors that are experts in their field.
Yeah, I will speak to that. That Tracy, who had the class last night, Tracy Bullock, she's great. So she taught me a lot. So anyways, I wanted to get that out because I'm so appreciative for, you know, what I got from the whole course and from the networking event. So thank you.
Thank you.
And Michelle, you and I are meeting for the first time.
Which is amazing because we know so many of the same people.
I know. We must hang in the same circle.
We've been in the same room before. We just never actually connected.
So, absolutely. So, again, I have a lot of background in medical, and I think it's great that your company does what it does. Because, again, coding, when they had the new coding come out, and what was it, last year, I want to say? That it
changes
grew,
every year, believe it or not.
And what did it grow from, about 100 and 200 code to 10,000 codes?
It's an extremely complicated coding, and it changes every year. And now there's even deeper regulations that are being put in place based upon the level of service that a doctor is giving. So if you're, depending upon the importance of it, you're getting paid differently. So it's like on a sliding scale on the insurance company side for reimbursement, depending upon the importance of what you're doing. So if you're doing a general checkup, you're going to get paid less. Mm-hmm. And if you're doing heart surgery, I'm not going to say you're going to get paid more, but you're going to get paid different.
Right.
So I'll be interested to see how the ripple effect affects healthcare, because if doctors stop wanting to give other types of services that are paid less, is that an unintended effect that potentially could happen? We don't know. I mean, we're going to have to see what happens. Hopefully not. Hopefully doctors are doing what they do, which is providing healthcare and giving the appropriate diagnosis and need for what needs to happen. But
I would agree with you that changes probably will be on the horizon simply from an economic standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Think about it from the doctor's perspective. I mean, they're getting squeezed by the insurance companies, by the hospitals, by the pay. I mean, in every direction. And that's really what we believe at Apex, is that the physicians that we serve are really being squeezed in a lot of different levels. And I think that people don't realize how much it costs to actually run a physician's practice. And there's still many of them paying back school loans.
Well, and the other point to that is that it's the only profession I know that actually they make less money every year just
because
of cutbacks.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah, they don't get the raises.
And here's the other thing that's kind of interesting to me. If you go to buy a car, you walk in and you go to the Cadillac dealership and you say, I'd like to buy a Cadillac. And they tell you, this is how much the Cadillac costs. You walk out knowing what your payment is. Healthcare isn't that way.
Mm-mm.
You know, it depending upon what you need, where you need it, who's doing what, when, how, time of day, it's, you don't know what your bill's going to be until it's gone through the whole process of the billing procedure. And how many times have you gotten a bill from a doctor 6 months after the fact with something that you thought, I just had this happen to me, actually. My doctor's office accidentally sent my, you know, yearly lab results to the wrong lab, and it wasn't in my network. So I got a $1,200 bill for what I thought was part of my plan. So now I'm paying back this $1,200 bill. Surprise, right?
Sure.
So we help not only the doctor not have that experience, because you can imagine the telephone call that I had to the doctor probably wasn't pleasant for the receptionist, right? Although I was nice about it. It wasn't her fault. But still, you know, there's time, energy, money, aggravation to deal with. But also from the doctor's perspective, from the lab's perspective, they may or may not get paid. I'm going to pay them. But some people, hey, I haven't got it, right?
Right.
And so I just think that making sure that you have the right practices in your practice and the right coding happening so that it doesn't happen is really very important. It's one of the many things that I could talk about all day long.
Right. I'm sure you could. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to hear about it. Exactly. So, Julie, the other thing that I wanted to ask you about is just, I know you said that Enterprise Bank is very unique and entrepreneurial in spirit, and I certainly have experienced that. But what really does differentiate you from the other banks that are out there?
You know what? That's the number one question everybody asks me. And it's not a short answer, if you're okay with that.
I'm okay with that.
I'm also going to like make little notes on my pad of paper here that nobody else can see but me and you guys. But I think this is the number one differentiator. I'm going to say that we take a consultative approach to banking. Now, that doesn't mean a lot because anybody can say we do consulting. But what we focus on, and I'm writing here, right, a dollar sign, is the cash and the capital in a business. And I think all of us would agree that cash and capital are key to the success of a business over their lifetime, right? You don't have it, your business doesn't last very long. And what most businesses have in that lifetime towards what they call their dream, right? That's the thing that they are striving for. It's a rocky road, right? You have your highs, your lows, your highs, your lows, your highs, your lows to try to get there to that thing that drives you towards, right? And so instead of spending time on the dream and looking up here, what happens is you're struggling down on those low ends, right? You've got disruptors in the market that are speeding up competition. How do you compete with that without cash or capital? You need people. You don't have enough people on staff. How do you handle the expansions for those items? You've got regulations that are constantly changing, and how do you keep them in front of those? What we do is we try to smooth out those highs and lows by also monitoring your dream, by sitting down with you and saying, okay, you need a loan, or do you? Are there other things we can do to help you? Are there some classes we can send you to for free with EU to help you educate better, understand your markets, have aha moments in class that say, if I make a little tweak here and there? Are there treasury management services that we can help you with? And treasury management tools are tools that you can use online that we can speed up your receivables and use to slow down your payables so that your cash is in your bank account more for longer periods of time. And then let's look at the reasons why you need a loan. And let's take a look at your market, and those are disruptors, and make sure we have you in the right plan and the money's being used for the right reason. Now, we get that involved because we're there for you for the lifetime, right? We have no intention of seeing you fail. And something that's scary to me is that 40% of people who go out to get a loan for their business will fail. 40%. Now, think about that. You're out there getting a loan because you think you have all these issues that you need the money for. But what if you didn't get the money for the right reason, or you got trapped in a loan that kind of held you to a certain constraint, right? You couldn't move. You couldn't get your line of credit increased, wasn't flexible enough. So when I say we're consultative, that's the step in the process that we actually go through with our customers. And I think that makes us very unique.
So you take an invested approach, obviously, because mm-hmm. you are investing in the business if you're providing a loan, to really make sure that it's the right loan for the right reason.
Exactly. We're not reactive. You can go to a bank and say, I need a loan. Why? Oh, that's interesting. Let's go to underwriting and go. We say, why? But let's take another deeper look. Let's sit down together and talk a lot about your business. Let me pull some reports on your industry and see what's going on. And have you thought of this? And have you thought of that? Now let's bring in some experts and really take a look at your business.
And then supporting their skills at the same time by providing mm-hmm. the education that you have available to them.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I know the feeling I got when I opened up my account there. I'll give a little plug to Emily Gardner.
Hi there. She's fabulous.
She is. Yeah. She's in the Scottsdale office. And so we were sitting down at her desk and we were having a chat, and about every 4 to 5 minutes she would be saying, hi, Dave. Hi, Sam. Hi, you know, Sally, uh-huh. who's ever walking in, and a wave and knew them by first name. And
everybody.
It was a really good feeling.
Yeah, everybody. It's amazing. I don't know how our lobby does it, but they know everybody by name when they walk in. Yeah. We had a gal that opened an account, and I've never asked them how this happened, but the first day she walked in, they knew her name. And they're like, and she's like, how did they know my name? I said, I don't know, do you even sign on your car? She goes, no. And I was like, this is really weird. So I don't know what they do or how they do what they do exactly, but it's pretty amazing. They really take customer service to a higher level.
Awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is. It really is. Is Apex that intimate with their
Actually,
crew?
We are.
Tell
we
me
are.
About your culture.
We pride ourselves on being an entrepreneurial business that was founded, started here in Arizona. And the founder of the company and the CEO of the company, Jim White, has been here for almost 17 years. And so, you know, for 17 years to be able to have a business stay alive that long is really saying something.
Absolutely.
So that's one of the reasons why I came on board with Jim is that it's really important for me that there's a culture of caring. And the folks that work for Apex and Jim and I and the people that we serve, there's definitely a closeness. And how could there not be? We're taking care of your money.
Do you have an ideal client, an ideal doctor's office, so to speak?
Well, doctor's offices that are growing are great opportunities for us because if you have an office, there's one or two ways you can increase your revenue. You can either make more money, which we, of course, want to do, or you can reduce your expenses, or you can do a combination of both. So with outsourcing your billing, you not only decrease your expenses because you're no longer dealing with salaries, computers, software, all the things that go along with having employees. And you're allowing us to take care of that for you. So we're decreasing your expenses, but we're also increasing your income because we're going to work your claims in a way that are a little bit different than somebody maybe that you're not managing. If you're a doctor, you practice healthcare. Sometimes doctors don't have that additional business experience or desire to want to manage an additional staff that is billing in nature. So we're helping to, that's what we do all day long. That's what we do. And so we're able to see strategies and patterns and opportunities that maybe a practice wouldn't be able to see on their own because they haven't been only doing medical billing, right? So we decrease your expenses and we increase your revenue just by changing over to Apex. Plus, that room that now was being used for billing is now open for service. And so you can bring on a doctor and fill up that room with patients as opposed to having that room be available for, we love to work with folks that are planning on, you know, especially banks and brokers and real estate people. So a doctor's office that's wanting to grow and they're right at that cusp of, yeah, you know, I mean, like we almost are there, but we need to increase our revenue so that we can get into a new space. They can actually start to grow in their current space by using their current office space that's for billing for a new doctor, and then we can help them to get their revenue so they can qualify for the loan. So a doctor's office that's growing or planning to exit, you know, there's doctors that are ready to transition their practice and they would like to exit. And so there's the balance sheet of your business is always very important when you're selling. New practices are also really great opportunities for us because we get to start doing it right from the beginning and to kind of set them up for success right from the beginning. And a doctor's practice that has already outsourced to another agency and maybe is not as happy as they would like to be. So those are good opportunities for us.
I'd like to touch on the exit strategy because that's actually a subject that has come up. I have a lot of friends who are doctors. So we've had that discussion before. Yes. And so we've talked about that because I don't think that is something that many physicians really think about.
I don't think business owners think.
Well, you're right.
That's
there.
So true.
Yeah. Some say, well, I'll wait until I'm ready to retire, but they're not thinking you should be working on that exit strategy long before. And Julie, you're nodding your head.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're saying yes, yes. And I would agree with you. And also, what if the unexpected happened? And you have nothing in place for that. So I won't go into great detail on that. I just wanted to say, I think that is a subject that need to be addressed.
For most business owners, their business, whether you're a doctor or a hairdresser or you own a radio station or you're a banker, it doesn't matter what your profession is, that the planning to exit is really important because most business owners, their business is their biggest asset. And in some cases, their only asset, because all that additional money that should have been going into their retirement plan hasn't been going there because they've been busy keeping the doors open, right? And Julie is shaking her head over here. And, you know, we don't have a 401k plan unless we put one in place, which is a really smart part of your exit strategy. So you really should be planning on exiting long before, you know, even years and decades before you plan on it. When you start your business, there should be an exit strategy in place. Because the reason why you're growing the business is to sell it.
Yeah. And, you know, I want to add to that. So first of all, I used to be a business broker. And so business brokering is basically a realtor for businesses, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Help people to sell their businesses. One of the things I used to always tell people was, if you're going to sell in the next, let's say, 3 to 5 years, to hit your target, you've got to raise your arrow up, right? You don't set your target straight across. You've got to shoot up to hit the target. So if you want $1 million for your business, and let's start shooting this way to the roof, so that you can hit your number, so that when it is time to sell your business, it's ready. And then there's all these other things you have to do, right? You have to get ready financially, because most entrepreneurs typically will spend a lot of their business money on their personal items. And so you got to clean the books up. You've got to make it run a certain way. Your business has to be viable and desirable to a buyer. And I want to circle back now to the bank. EU, Enterprise University, we actually have classes on merger and acquisitions and teaches these items and these little tools to help a person get to that level. And the same is true for banking. We have a class called 18 Red Flags, which are the things that banks get worried about when somebody comes to them for a loan, and how to avoid those red flags. And I think those would be very beneficial to anybody, whether it be a doctor, a hairstylist, right? As you said, a pet groomer. You want to get, if your plan is to grow your business, then you have to have all these tools. You have to have tools that Michelle offers. You have to have tools like Enterprise University. You have to have a banker that's going to sit down and talk to you and consult with you. These are just keys.
That's one of the reasons why Julie and I are partnering together on some educational stuff that we're doing coming year. And we'll announce that more. We're in our research phase right now. We're putting all of our ducks in a row, but Enterprise and Apex will be partnering on offering education for doctors that'll help them to get to that dream level.
Yeah.
So
I've got a few people you can invite.
Awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
Absolutely.
Because education's key. And that's one of the things that I really love about Enterprise, is that I don't have to convince them. They're already proactively doing it. So when Julie and I met at Central Women of Phoenix, out in the driveway, actually.
Yep. Waiting
for our car. Yeah. Right? we were talking about golf, right? We both golf. We're going to be playing at the Phoenix Metro Chambers golf tournament, which is at Troon on May 12th. So we're golfing together, and we're doing things together. But the thing that we both resonate with is that education is king. That the more you know, and the more that you're empowered, the more that you successful you can be. And so we're working on some interesting opportunities. And so we'll keep you posted about that.
Yes, please do. The interesting thing, you know, circle it back to the doctors, that they're great at what they do, but they never learn business.
Well, not all of them. Some of them do. I know a couple that have MBAs as well.
But that's not part of the education process.
Right.
When they're learning to be physicians and really great physicians, is they're not really taught how to be good business people.
It's that way with any trade, right? So if I went to art school, there was no business in there. I had to go back to get a master's in business later, which is shocking to me, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're an attorney, or if you're an electrician or a plumber, if you go learn a trade of any kind, I think that ASU is really kind of taking a different look at business and trade. If you look at some of the things that ASU is doing in the Herberger Art and Design and in their entrepreneurism areas, there's more going on at ASU to kind of link up business and trade than anywhere in the country, quite frankly. But most tradespeople don't, you know, it's not just doctors, it's across the board.
So I'm going to take this in a little bit different direction, still about education, but you and I, Michelle, talked for a few minutes about conscious capitalism. So I've just started learning more about them, meeting some of the folks that are a part of that. And the one thing that I learned they're doing is they're putting, at least for the Arizona chapter, focus on education and taking it to the business school so that it is part of their education process. So would you like to speak to that just a little bit?
To conscious capitalism?
Uh-huh.
Well, so I learned about conscious capitalism about 3 years ago from a woman. It was in one of my BNI chapters. And the book was written by John Mackey. And of course, I always forget his co-writer. It's a name that I can't pronounce correctly. So it just goes out of my head. But he's a co-writer. I don't want him to think that he's the only writer. And basically, the book documents his learning curve when he was opening up Whole Foods. So he came from, I'm from Vermont, I understand. Okay, he came from kind of the, we have a grocery store back in Vermont we call the Hippie Mart, right? You know, and it's lovingly said, right? It's, you know, it's a food co-op kind of environment. So he came from that very altruistic, very community-based food co-op world. And then he created Whole Foods. Well, there was a couple of lessons he learned there about becoming a bona fide business and the idea that business using their profits for good. And so the Conscious Capitalism book, oh, thank you for telling me. It's Raj, how do you say it? Sisodia. Thank you for telling me the co-author. And see, I can never say it properly, so I always screw it up. So they started doing Conscious Capitalism chapters. In Arizona, actually, Scott McIntosh founded the third Conscious Capitalism in the country, I think after Chicago, potentially, and Australia.
Yeah.
And so I'm a member of Conscious Capitalism through my other hat, my company Fearlessly Deliver. And I'm just really impressed by the idea that capitalism is the most revolutionary thing that has ever happened. You know, that I was a social worker when I first came out of college. And what I learned was the most revolutionary thing I could do for someone was to give them a job. When I look at what I'm doing for Apex, I don't look at it like I'm selling a widget or I'm selling a service. I look at it like I'm putting gas in Charles's truck. Because in order for Charles, our billing lead, to put gas in his truck, then we have to bring business in so he can do that. And so when I look at business that way, it's not about my salary. It's not about selling something. It's about providing for my stakeholders. And so our stakeholders are our employees, they're our community. Apex is getting very involved in the community. We just recently sponsored the Phoenix Film Festival. Had a blast doing that. It's about where we're getting our funding, the people that we're networking with and we're collaborating with. And so Conscious Capitalism really is about, you know, making sure that you're taking care of all of your stakeholders and doing and using your profits for good. And I know this is crazy, but money's not everything, but it's right up there with air, right? We need money in order to be able to run our country, to run our communities, to pay our taxes, to put gas in our truck. As I said, it's a very important thing. And so this idea that business is not a dirty word, that being a consciously capitalistic business is really where it's at. So I personally, and this is, you know, my personal hat on, feel very strongly about Conscious Capitalism. I'm very excited to hear about your association with them. So good for you.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you spoke to that. I'm a supporter. So I just wanted to give a few minutes of a hats off to what they're doing and the fact that you are a part of that organization. So I didn't realize I knew you two knew each other, but
yes.
I didn't realize that you were working on projects and business projects together. But I think that's fantastic because kind of speaking to your point a few minutes ago, it's all about how you collaborate. And through collaboration, you're able to do, you know, the greater good out there.
Julie and I both come from owning our own businesses. We're scrappers.
We're scrappers.
We're scrappers, right? And so I work for Apex and she works for Enterprise, but we bring with us a wealth of business knowledge, actually being in the trenches, being a business owner. So whether you're a doctor or you're a fill in the blank business, having somebody that understands business from a strategic, you know, marketing and networking is really something that we're very interested in.
Absolutely.
Well, I was even going to say that the business broker in your prior life, that has to bring an awful lot to your work that you're doing now because you've been in the shoes of the people that you serve.
21 years entrepreneur, two different businesses. I learned a lot, made a ton of mistakes. And those mistakes helped me to grow and to get better. And every time somebody sits in front of me at the bank, I get excited for them because they're entrepreneurs like you. I got pretty excited when I met you, Michelle. And I get to hear their dream. And I get to use some of my background and my experience in the mistakes I made and the things I did right in the consultations I gave other customers in my back past. And I get to bring that to the bank.
So what led you to banking?
Oh, my goodness. It's such a long story.
Oh, you have all these long stories. That's great. We have a whole hour.
We have a whole hour. A lot of things all came together at the same time. I expanded my company to California. I was very exhausted. I was working 90 hours a week, flying back and forth between California and Arizona. I had a 3-year-old grandson and children in Arizona that I wasn't getting to see very often. They were adult children, and I wasn't abandoning small ones. there was a parting of the ways of a partner in my California office. All these things kind of wound up, and I turned to a friend one day and I said, I want to do something different. It's been 11 years. I'm tired. I want to slow down a little bit. I want something different. She said, gosh, my bank is hiring. And I said, oh, a bank wouldn't want to hire somebody like me. I'm an entrepreneur. And she goes, I think they might. So I gave them my resume. And next thing you know, I'm getting interviews and taking all kinds of tests and more interviews. And they offered me the job. And
super smart.
It took me several months to wind everything down and get to the place where I could actually come in and start my job. But it's been amazing. And I love it. I love meeting all the new people. I love my new role. I think, when I was an entrepreneur, I didn't understand the importance of a bank. And I think every entrepreneur needs to understand how important their banker should be to them. I would just go in when I wanted to make a deposit. I had no relationship with my bank. And then when I wanted things, they were reluctant to give them to me. Now I understand that. And I also get to give that back to my customers. Now, let's plan together on how we can get you to where you want to go.
I think you make a perfect fit for the job.
Thank you.
It's one of the reasons why I'm so excited about Enterprise, because Jim and I are both entrepreneurs. And the fact that Enterprise was smart enough to hire you tells me an awful lot about the bank.
Oh, thank you.
Because really, if you're working with entrepreneurs, you really should hire an entrepreneur, right? It just makes complete sense, right?
Absolutely.
We had a new client in the office yesterday, and I was watching my boss, right? It's just a weird thing for me to say, right? The owner of Apex, watch her tell her story. And I was watching his face light up.
Yeah.
And see, that's, you want to work with a bank and a billing in office, someone doing your billing, anybody that you work with that's doing anything for you, you want to watch their face light up when you tell them your dream. If their face does not light up, if they're looking at their watch and they're like yawning, they're not your service provider.
No
way.
You
need to be with somebody who actually cares about what you're doing, because I don't care who you are. Owning your own business is not for wimps.
No, it's not.
And you need to have a team of people around you that believe in your mission, care about you, and are willing to go to any lengths to help you to get there.
Yep, absolutely.
And if you don't have that, you got to replace your team, because those team members shouldn't have a seat on your bus.
Well, this is the perfect place to interject this thought, because for any listeners out there, you probably cannot come close to feeling the energy that is in this room. There is passion around both of these ladies and what they're talking about. And I'll be honest with you. Initially, I thought, oh, we have a banker and we have a medical coding person as our guest today. But I'm excited at the conversation that's going around, because you are so right when you talk about the team of people around you. And it doesn't matter if you're talking banking, coding, lawyers, somebody writing your content for your web like me, anybody, you're all part of that team. And you're right. If you can't be excited about what you're doing, then you probably shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah, you shouldn't be giving your money to a company that you don't feel excited about. Yeah.
Exactly.
Because at Apex, you don't pay on the front end, you pay a percentage of what we bring in. So we have a horse in the race. So it kind of behooves us to make sure that you're doing as well as possible. That's why we offer a lot of marketing events and things. This coming year, we'll be doing things to get doctors meeting each other, to refer to each other. Education, so that they can, that the time that they're spending with us, they're learning something, they're having a blast, and they're networking in both inside the industry and outside the industry. Because if a doctor is going to take, a doctor or a decision maker, because it's not always the doctor that's a decision maker in a practice, they're going to take time away from their business, where people's lives literally are at stake, then we want them to come to something that's really going to be beneficial on multiple levels. So we want them to quadruple dip, learn something, have fun, meet people in the industry you can refer to, and meet people outside of the industry that can provide you services.
Absolutely.
So we're working on about, I think I have about 15 projects this year going on with members like Julie, helping to make it interesting and beneficial. And so that's what makes Apex a little different too, is that we really realize that if we help our doctors to, first of all, be de-stressed. I was just at the Arizona Tech Council's, of course, the name of the conference is escaping my brain right now, because I'm on, no, it was just a med tech conference that was through Arizona Council. And I listened to Dr. Greg Sanders from Hybrid Charts talk about the pressure that doctors are under and increased suicide rates.
Oh, wow.
I mean, doctors are under immense pressure to save lives, do it for less money, and their bills have not reduced. In fact, their bills are increasing. So we feel really passionately about helping them to reduce their stress, to get who wants to work for free, okay? I mean, we just want to get them paid for the work they did at the rate that they should get paid for and be able to help them to grow their business. And if we do these three things, it helps us because we're getting a percentage of what they're billing. It just makes perfect sense, right?
Well, it really does. Absolutely. And the paradigm is really changing for physicians out there. And I think probably to a certain degree, you know, dentists and really a lot of businesses that things are changing. But I know in the case of physician offices, they have the competition is the Banner Health, the Honor Health, the big organizations that come in and just pay a salary. Here you go. That whole art
There's
of
a
being
lot of
able
different
to be a
models, yes.
Yeah, private practice physician is getting very difficult. But there's still people who are passionate about wanting that private practice.
And to be able to take that hat off like Apex does mm-hmm. and hand it over to somebody else, it frees up cash, mm-hmm. time, mm-hmm. lessens their stress. And I love that you guys do it in a way that you take a percentage. So then they're not out of pocket up front as well. I think it's a great program you guys offer. We're really excited to be working together, like she mentioned. So
yeah,
we're going to have some fun things that we're going to roll out.
I can see that. So yeah, I'm anxious to kind of to hear about, you know, when you do have your programs and your
education. We'll keep you. We'll have to come back again and talk about that.
Yes.
You beat me to the punch there. So shifting conversation just a little bit, and I'll move it back over to you Michelle, because I know you wear a lot of different hats. You referred to that fact. I'd just be interested, and we don't have to focus on it, but I would just like to know a little bit about Fearless Delivery and your art projects that you work on.
Well, thanks for asking. So last year, I realized that when I had started my company, Fearless Deliver, it was a consulting company. And essentially, people would be hiring I'm an entrepreneur for hire. So if you had a really big project that you needed to get implemented, but you weren't sure how to do it, and you just wanted to hand it over to somebody and just be sure that it was going to get done, you could hire me. Or if you had something blow up, like maybe your business partner stole from you, or you God forbid you put the wrong software in, you had something blow up, and you need somebody to help you fix it. So I started Fearless Deliver 4 years ago, and I started to think about, well, gee, how would I meet my ideal client? And long story short, I came up with the art of fearlessly doing business. And what I do is I ask business owners why they started their business and how they became fearless. This year, the art of fearlessly doing business will be focusing only on healthcare. And so essentially what I do is I have an interview, very similar to the one we're having right now. I videotape it. It goes on YouTube. I listen to I have an article in Java Magazine right now that talks about this process, by the way. I listen to the interview and I choose 5 key takeaways and I blog about it. And then the video and the blog inspires a painting. So I've been a painter my whole life, and this is always how I've worked. I'm a visual journalist. And what I do is I tell stories using video, words, and images. And so at the end of the series, there's an opening and the 13 business owners that I interview get to meet each other and they get to network. And essentially the original reason for doing it was because it was a kind of out of the box, and you can tell I'm kind of an out of the box thinker, an out of the box way to get to meet my ideal client or to be referred to my ideal client. So what ended up happening was the art projects kind of took on a life of their own. So I have 3 projects that I do: the art of fearlessly doing business, the art of fearlessly giving back, and the art of fearlessly living. And so I realized I needed to get one consulting client, one big chunky consulting client, or one JOB job. And so I sent out an email to all the folks that I knew and that were in recruiting, coaching, I forgot the other one. It's awful when you're live and you forget things. And I got an email back right away from John Waters. He owns Waters Consulting. And he introduced me to Jim White. And Jim literally wouldn't let me leave his office without getting a handshake. So basically, Jim is scooped up Fearlessly Deliver full time. And I'm super excited about it because it completely resonates with what Fearlessly Deliver in every way is doing this year, because Fearlessly Deliver is focusing on healthcare. And it was just a complete weird synergistic thing that happened. So the Art of Fearlessly Giving Back is opening on May 18th this year at the Arizona Science Center from 6 to 9. And I'm focusing on WebPT and their social responsible mission and 6 charities that they support. And Conscious Capitalism is one of those charities. So it's an online auction. and an opening. And so the 10% of the sale of the paintings goes directly to the charity. And anything that the paintings sell for above the stated value goes directly to the charity. So, for example, Arizona Science Center is hosting, and they're also a benefactor. If someone buys their piece for $10,000 more than its stated value, they'll get 10% of the stated value plus the $20,000 over and above the stated, 100%. Minus processing fees if we have to put it through credit card.
Right. That's great. So May 18th, I wrote it down.
Yep.
What were the times again?
From 6 to 9 on May 18th at the Arizona Science Center. And then the Art of Fearlessly Doing Business year is focusing only on healthcare companies. So that opening will be in October. And I'm choosing my partners on that now. I'll have some pretty exciting news. I would say June 5th on who the people will be that'll be interviewing there now. It's great for us because it gives us an opportunity to use what Fearlessly Deliver is doing for the benefit of Apex as well. So we're partnering, and it's just one of those weird synergistic, let's get out and meet people and spread the good and talk about what can be done as opposed to what can't be done. And let's make it happen.
Yeah, that's the way collaboration should occur. So,
and I get her newsletter.
And Michelle, you do?
Yes, I do.
I forgot.
And I love it. And I read it every time.
Awesome.
And I click on videos. I've seen the videos. I've looked through your art. And she's so talented.
Oh, thank you.
She is just so talented.
Yeah, people can sign up for the newsletter at fearlesslydeliver.com.
Okay. Yes, I'm going to read that. Definitely. I actually feel like we just got connected by an umbilical cord or something. Because I have to share with you that my new favorite word for the last 6 months or so
is fearless.
Yes. And it's kind of funny because I met a woman who's, you know, accomplished in business, but I was sharing that with her and she said, oh, you need a new word. I said, why?
Yeah,
she said, because you should never have a word that connected to a negative, and fear is negative. And I'm like, said to her, I love the word fearless. I feel fearless in everything I do. In fact, I was fearless to get in front of this microphone the first time I ever did. Yeah. And it's just a word that resonates with me.
Well, it's really interesting. I've interviewed 52 business owners this time. There's 24 people that I interviewed just for the 52 business owners plus the 24 that I've interviewed for the WebBT project. And one of the things that I've learned is that people who are out there doing, like Enterprise Bank and Apex, we don't talk about fear in the same way that others do. Because if you're just putting yourself out there and doing, right? You're getting out there and getting that dream. I'm pointing to Julie's little diagram on her paper. Then you have to deal with fear every day. And the only way to get fearless is to keep on doing. And what ends up happening every single interview is that the owner of the business will say to me, I don't really feel fear anymore because everything's an opportunity. And really failing is part of succeeding.
Absolutely.
Making, you know, changing. I love how Julie talks about how this is not a failure. I was 11 years in business and I made a decision to go work for a bank. That's success, right? Everyone wants
Without
to have that problem, right? So in order to actually know that, last night I was on Facebook Live talking about this, and I was talking about Desert Labrador Retriever Rescue as one of the charities. And, The value that I was talking about for WebPT was about work ethic and about learning to we value hard work, but learning how to work smarter. Well, the first thing you have to do is work dumb. Okay?
Yeah.
Like if you're a doctor's office, you have to hire 5 billers who cost you a boatload of money. You maybe need to have one of your insurance companies say, oops, you used the wrong code and you owe us $300,000. You might want to have your business manager steal a boatload of money from you. And then you think, you know, I probably should have outsourced this.
So
you know?
True.
So in order to come up with a smart solution, you actually have to be brave enough to make a mistake. I had a mistake I don't know if it was a mistake. It was an opportunity to grow last week that just, oh God, right? But in order for me to do better next time, I have to have that, oh geez, well, I could have done that differently. Because you'll never get to greatness unless you screw up.
You're so right. And funny because I'm sitting here thinking, I can remember most of the mistakes I've made in my career.
Isn't it funny?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't remember all my successes necessarily.
Oh, we have to stop that. I'm going to make you email me all the success. That's what we do. If there's 100 people in the room, the one person we don't like is the one person we focus on. Isn't that funny?
Right.
If we have a successful business, we're going in to get a loan. we've gotten to the point where we're growing so much that we actually need to buy a new building to start a practice in, and we need to change something, right?
Right.
But we go in and talk about our bad credit and what we didn't do right, what happened the last time we got a loan and it didn't work out. And, oh yeah, we did this marketing thing and it didn't work. We go in and beat ourselves up in front of the loan officer when we're asking for a loan.
Yeah, and then they're not feeling real confident.
Right. And meanwhile, you're the only reason why you're here is that you were so successful that you need more money to keep going.
Yeah.
And that's how we think, right?
Right. Well, you know, it's like putting a different frame around the picture and just looking at it from a different angle. Yes, I do remember a lot of my mistakes and failures, but boy, did I learn from them.
Thank God, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you don't learn from them, then, you know,
then you keep
shame
making
on
the
you.
Same mistake over and over.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
I love what Magic Johnson says, that I missed more shots than I made. Emerson, is it, who invented the light bulb? Oh, I love that you're drawing
Edison.
A blank too. Edison said that he had to fail 10,000 times before he actually found the one way to make the light bulb that worked.
Right. Right.
I mean, if you don't fail, and this is, we have to get over this idea of the first time I try something, it has to be just perfect. I'm sure if you were to talk to any major success, fill in the blank, right? There's going to be lots of opportunities to screw up and do it publicly and embarrass yourself and smack yourself in the forehead. If you don't do that, then you're not in business, quite frankly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would have to agree with you.
I definitely agree.
Yeah. Well, one of these days I might have to do a spinoff called Fearless Nation. So we'll have you back on that show.
We're going to spend a ton of time together. Right?
Yeah. You can be my co-host. You both can be. This is really an energizing conversation, though. My head is just like going in a whirl thinking about everything we've been talking about and the opportunities that are out there.
There's a lot of opportunity. Our economy is flourishing. Things are going really well. Banks are lending. Businesses are growing. It's a great opportunity right now to
and
be
health,
a business
the healthcare
owner.
Is also, everybody talks about healthcare being broken, right?
Wow.
I definitely think that there's some opportunities for healthcare to be improved for sure. Mm-hmm. But I also think those opportunities brings all kinds of really cool opportunities for new, Arizona is like the tech mecca startup of the world, right? So there's all ways to solve problems, you know, because when you see a problem, there's ways to solve it. So we're working on creating dynamic partnerships with technology companies that are offering different solutions to doctors so that we can help them to get reimbursed quicker and help them to get reimbursed in full. So healthcare is a great place to focus because there's so much opportunity to make it better. It's like dusting a dirty house, my mom would say, right?
Well, and let's face it, if you don't have your health, what do you have?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's such an important topic. It is coming up in about 10 minutes to the hour. Can you believe we've been talking for 50 minutes?
That's amazing.
And I would just like to make sure that we have a couple of minutes for both of you to share contact information that you would like to share, but to also give you a few minutes for anything else that you would like to add about what you do, any upcoming events, anything like that. So this is your, you know, 3 or 4 minutes to do that. So Julie, why don't you go ahead?
Okay. I'm going to whip out my phone just in case I forget something.
Okay.
We have another one of our fun events coming up in June. It's called Taco Tuesday, which means it will be on a Tuesday. There will be tacos. But I don't have the exact date yet, but we'll be sending out notification on that. Again, a time to come to our Scottsdale location, our Scottsdale branch, and just enjoy meeting new entrepreneurs. We invite the community. We invite all of our customers so that our customers can connect to each other and to the community. So that'll be coming up. I'll have more on that later. EU, Enterprise University, has, I believe, 2 more classes for this semester before it ends. And both subjects are really good. And so you want to go to enterprisebank.com and download our flyer and look at those classes. And if they resonate with anybody, do sign up and show up to ASBA, and they will not be, they'll not be sorry. We also have, I wanted to mention a couple other things that we didn't discuss, is Enterprise offers a lot of different niche markets. And one of them is what we have is what's called a new market tax credit. And this is a product that we can use where we can sell people tax credits, where we can apply a tax credit to a loan to help somebody. For example, if they're They can't go with a traditional loan because they don't have the, the percentage to put down on the loan, or there's an issue. Our tax credits that are federally given to us, we can apply to the loans. These are something very unique in the market. So if somebody's looking for a loan, they're not sure if they can qualify, and if they fit in the box of the tax credit, we can help them with that. Let's see, what else? You can contact me, Jay Fletcher, F-L-E-T-C-H-E-R, at enterprisebank.com. Jay Fletcher at enterprisebank.com.
Fantastic. Michelle?
Well, you can go to our website, which is apex4medbill.com. So it's apex, the number 4, med, M-E-D, bill.com. And we have a page on our website called the offers. And on that page, you can sign up for a survey that will allow you to get a free chart audit if you're happy with your billing service as it is, and you're just wondering if you're doing the best you can as far as getting information into your charts. So we can do coding and credentialing for you as opposed to just taking over your billing. Or you can get an analysis of the difference between doing your billing in-house and doing your billing with us. And so if you sign up, then we will get some information from you, and we will set up a time to give you a report, and that's all free of charge. So you go to apex4medbill.com, number 4, medbill.com, and go to the offers page to sign up for that. People can reach out to me at Michelle, M-I-C-H-E-L-L-E, at apex4medbill.com, or you can call or text me on my cell phone at 480-526-2609. Again, I'll say it, 480-526-2609. You can also find us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, and that's it. So I would love to have coffee with anyone that is interested in talking about collaborating, or any doctor that is looking to potentially make a change, or just build a relationship with an organization that's wanting to build a relationship with doctors, period. Thank you.
Thank you. This has been a fantastic conversation. Thank you both so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely. And I will have you back. Anyways, you've been listening to Rhino Nation. The Business to Business Radio series has been powered by Rhino Online Strategies and eCreativity. We are here to help you free up your precious and limited time as a business owner to do what you do best, running and growing your business. We partner with you to identify your content and marketing needs and provide you with fresh, innovative, dynamic copy that will effectively reach your target market, leading to increased customer engagement, a higher conversion rate, and increased sales. Until next time, I'm your host, Michelle Faust.